You're listening to Nick Treadwell's Storyville. Poetry Without Pretense. A personal tribute to Brendan Higgins, aka Big Bren, aka the unofficial poet laureate of Birmingham, aka the Yardley Bard, aka the Brummy Punk Poet. By Nick Treadwell. Are you someone who seriously appreciates the written word? Who is up to speed with the leading lights of the poetry scene in the West Midlands? Someone who likes to analyse poetic form long into the night, poring over every last syllable in order to squeeze some kind of meaning? Do you not also enjoy attending poetry festivals where esteemed literary luminaries stand atop a stage and deliver lofty stanzas that consider the intricate details of life, death, and everything in between? And then spend hours trying to explain their art to you over a coffee and a cream bun? If you are any of the above, you certainly won't have come across Big Bren, aka Brendan Higgins, for the very reason that the man and his poetry just didn't move in those kinds of circles. However, if you have ever happened across any one of a number of drinking establishments in Birmingham in the last couple of decades that have offered up a microphone and an audience, you may very well have been lucky enough to catch Mr. Higgins doing his thing. The thing in question being either reading, or should I say, shouting his poems at you, performing alongside his avant-garde free jazz combo, being master of ceremonies for one of his edgy extravagandas of music and spoken word, or even just offering support to others by soaking up the buzz. And if you were really lucky, you'd see him do all of these things in one night, while drinking copious pints of ale. Let's face it though, you wouldn't have been able to miss Big Bren, a huge hairy bear of a man, delivering his poems without pretense, ceremony or explanation, just getting stuff that rolled him about modern life off of his chest, invariably with one essential ingredient, humour. Our paths crossed for the first time in the late 90s, Similarly to Bren, I'd been writing poems, lyrics and music since I was a teen and hadn't really thought about performing at all. In fact, the very thought would bring me out in a cold sweat. But when I heard about a weekly performance venue of new and established songwriters taking place in a Birmingham City pub, I decided to go along and have a look for myself. When I hooked up with the Songwriters Cafe, it had taken up residency at the Factotum and Firkin on Bennett's Hill, now called the Sun on the Hill, and was at the height of its popularity under the founder and MC, Irish writer, poet and enigmatic singer-songwriter, Paul Murphy. It would begin early on a Sunday afternoon with a small, intimate audience, and end around tea time with a raucous sing-along led by Murphy, where he would literally name-check the entire assembled crowd. In between, we were treated to a veritable smorgasbord of music, from experienced acts to those just wanting to turn up and try out a few new songs. After a few weeks of attending this Sunday afternoon marathon, I started to get to know a few of the regulars. Bren was there most weeks, propped up at the bar, pint at hand, enjoying the constant flow of musical art before him. I think we both recognised each other as fellow travellers, kindred spirits, so to speak. I hate large social gatherings, but the Songwriters Cafe was different. Everyone was made to feel welcome and feel included in something truly special. Being a few words, I think in the beginning we probably communicated mostly via smiles, gestures and little comments about the various turns on stage. But then one week, Bren passed me a bit of folded paper. On it, written in his own handwriting, a page of lyrics, probably Buzzer Wuzzer or one of his other ditties from that era. a piece sparkling with electricity and passion, full of energy, simple, yet able to say so much about life.
Buzzer Wuzzer opens up my mind, gives me sight when love seems blind. Buzzer Wuzzer makes me whole, serves up food for my soul. Buzzer Wuzzer brings me hope, occupies me when I can't cope. Buzzer Wuzzer amplifies my dreams, but Buzzer Wuzzer is not what it seems. Buzzer Wuzzer is my state of health, a new jukebox all to myself. Buzzer Wuzzer is in my blood, she says I'm crazy but I'm just misunderstood. Buzzer Wuzzer is my line, makes me feel everything is fine. Buzzer Wuzzer keeps me awake, what a shame it's all a fake.
Over the next couple of years that the Songwriters Cafe inhabited the Factotum, Bren continued to share his work with me and others. I think, like me, he had come to the place to find connection with like-minded souls who were there trying to make sense of the world through music and words. I appreciated his work, and I think he liked what I was doing. That was the bond and basis for our friendship, in a place that accepted us for who we really were, not what the world thought we should be. I get the feeling that those years at the Songwriters Cafe had a big influence on Bren, just like they did me. Paul Murphy's ethic of allowing anyone to get up and have a go was liberating and created a much-needed space for new writers. Bren would carry that vision forward in later years when he would organise and host his own music and poetry events. When the Songwriters Cafe wound down a couple of years later, I didn't see that much of Bren, though I'd occasionally catch up with him at different events such as Birmingham Arts Fest or such like. Eventually, little by little, I began to hear whispers that Bren was performing his work at various venues around the city. When I heard he was involved in hosting a new weekly open mic event under the banner of the Sunday Express, I was keen to go along, as I'd heard that the event was getting quite a reputation for being a safe harbour for those undefinable acts that couldn't seem to find a home anywhere else. Here's Bren talking about the Sunday Express from a promotional film made in 2013.
My name is Brendan Higgins. I'm a local Birmingham poet and the procurer of the Sunday Express open mic. When I was young, I dreamed of being a pop star, and I tried to write some lyrics, and then somewhere along the way I met some musicians. We tried to form some various bands, silly things like Women Got In The Way, and all these bands broke up. And I was just hanging around with a guitarist around various open mics, and somebody said, "Well, you've got all these lyrics hanging about. Why didn't you get up on the side?" So we did. And I lost my dad when I was 9, and it was the anniversary of his death. And I just felt compelled one night to stand up in a pub and read a poem about him. And the organiser of the open mic, Pete Reeves, he said, "That wasn't bad, Brent. Have you got any more of that stuff? Please come down and do some more." So I did. He was running the very early edition of the Case Acoustic Club in the pub across the road from there, the Mosley Arms. My idea was I was just going around streets of Birmingham, being a poetry superstar, and wanted somewhere to go. So I invented Sunday Express to keep him out of the betting shops. So we used to do open mics. We met a strange woman from Wigan called Elizabeth Smith, who we started talking about publishing books. And we thought, what we really need to promote ourselves and meet other people is an event. So another colleague of ours, Louis Campbell, got a gig in the Market Tavern. We called this gig in the Sunday Express. And we had a couple of happy years in the in a Market Tavern, until it got mysteriously closed down. The good people here at the Adam and Eve let us come up here and continue our mayhem. I think Sunday Express is a pretty good benchmark for the melting pot. We've had poets, we've had storytellers, we've had bands, we've had just solo performers with acoustic guitars, full-on rock bands. It's a melting pot, a bit of spoken word in there. bit of funk in there, a bit of Led Zeppelin. Ben Burns Combo's an avant-garde free jazz consortium I do the occasional gig with. Started over conversation, I met some free jazz musicians, Noel and Mikhail, and they said, and they were listening to me doing some poetry, and they approached me, so said, we could do some of you here. So we had a meeting, and I read some poems, and they improvised some music behind me. It's been quite interesting, because I've got to work with some of the top jazz musicians in Birmingham. It's quite organic what we do, because it works. Somebody will give me a date to play, and I'll just ring up Noel and say, okay, Noel, we've got a gig on such and such a date. Can you get a band together? So until I come down, until we all meet up in the pub, I don't know the musicians I'm playing with, and they don't know the set list. So we just get on stage and just take them from there, and nine times out of ten it works.
What struck me about the Sunday Express was the wide range of performers, both in age, experience and genre. There were poets, storytellers, acoustic songwriters and full bands representing a microcosm of the art that Birmingham couldn't seem to find a place for. Fellow writer and performer James Kennedy took some of the organisational strain, while Big Bren and his big book of poems remained at the centre of the chaos. Brendan wanted you to hear his work, so he didn't shy away from the microphone. Instead, he belted out his pieces with a staccato rhythm that made you listen very carefully. It was like being mowed down by a machine gun firing words. Many of his best poems use repeated phrases that were more like song lyrics with big earworm choruses that you could join in with, as demonstrated by some of his best-known poems, Noisy Neighbours and Shopping, both of which struck a chord with the audiences, who would literally lynch him if he didn't perform them. It was quite obvious to me that those days at the Songwriters Cafe had been a big influence to Bren and his new venture, with the added bonus of having welcoming contributions from spoken word artists. Over the years, the Sunday Express moved through a range of different locations, including arts and performance venues, The Edge and Centrala in Cheapside, The Market Tavern and The Adam and Eve in Digbeth, both gritty traditional pubs in a part of Birmingham which has become a melting pot for arts and culture in the last few decades. Later, the Sunday Express Collective hooked up with a publisher and were producing books, pamphlets and CDs featuring Bren and other regulars. By this point, I had been producing my homegrown podcast for several years. It too championed new independent writers, poets and musicians. And I'd been eager to feature Bren's work for a few years, the only problem being he'd not recorded anything. The only recordings were those in settings where it was too difficult to hear him through the background chatter. I was delighted then, when around 2007, he told me he'd recorded a proper CD of material under the title Flowers Up My Arse, and that he was sending it to me for inclusion in the podcast. I featured four of his poems on my June the 11th podcast, including Buzzer Wuzzer, Mental, Stress Me, and Little Brown Envelopes.
Little brown envelopes keep coming through the door. Little brown envelopes keep asking you for more. Little brown envelopes seem to the bin, but little brown envelopes keep on coming in. Little brown envelopes, there's a new one every day. Little brown envelopes from June through to May. Little brown envelopes keep coming through the hole. Little brown envelopes want to take your soul. Little brown envelopes never seem to stop. Little brown envelopes bleeding every last drop. Little brown envelopes eating up your pay. Little brown envelopes will never go away.
I think Bren always harboured a burning ambition to front a rock band of his own, and when the opportunity to get together with a bunch of versatile musicians from the Brum jazz scene presented itself, Big Bren's Combo was born. The Combo featured a very loose lineup that invariably changed from gig to gig. Saxophones, drums, guitars and theremins all contributed. Bren was quite proud of the fact that each performance was never rehearsed, with everyone turning up without any prior knowledge of what selection of Bren's poetry they would be backing. A brave move, with the freedom of improvisation and experimentation providing a richly layered dynamic soundscape for Bren's words, which meant that no two gigs would be quite the same. It was an organic sound that seemed to live and breathe as it reacted to Bren's work. Cacophonous slabs of sound might represent the noisy neighbours that Bren often complained about, or a nervous, discordant swirl of anger would rise as he lamented the death of another child due to war. Never an easy listen. In fact, James Kennedy described the effect of listening to the live double album that the combo put out in 2017 as replacing his liver and stripping off the wallpaper.
A child has died, reports a somber-suited man on the television. A child has died. But isn't that what happens in war? A child has died. So you turn the television over. A child has died. A child is dead. A child has died because of what you call religion. A child has died because he was standing in the street. A child has died because he filled his head with poison. A child has died. A child is dead. You say Yosef, and I say Joseph. You say Abraham, and I say Abraham. Yosef, Joseph, Abraham, Abraham. Let's go to Hope and God. You say Ella, and I say Jehovah. You say Easter, and I say Passover. Hello, Jehovah, Easter, Passover. Let's go to Hope and God. Anything you can kill, we can kill better. We can kill anything better than you. No, you can, yes, we can. No, you can, no, yes, we can. No, you can, yes, we can, yes, we can.
A live version there of A Child Has Died by Big Bren's Combo. With Bren, what you saw is what you got. There was no pretense, no ulterior motive, no terms and conditions, no hard sell, no disguise to hide behind. The person who turned up at the event was the same person who you'd meet on the high street or at the local chippy or the bar. His poetry is the same. It doesn't stand on ceremony, use fancy literary tricks, or contain frilly decorations. It says what it needs to say, using liberal doses of humour to make sense of and express Bren's opinions on pressing matters that he considered important. Common themes running throughout his work are defending the underdog and downtrodden. You've only got to leaf through his collection of poetry, contains offensive language, to realise this. The book was produced by Arts All Over the Place, who were formed in 2007 with the aim of celebrating the creative talents of those challenged by mental health in Birmingham and Solihull. It contains a wide spectrum of the poetry Bren produced over many years. The first thing to note is that nearly all of the poems in the book are capitalised. You can literally hear Bren shouting the things at you as you read along. There are hard-hitting pieces taking on the harsh realities of prejudice, discrimination and war. Poems that question the banalities of mediocrity, the absurdities of consensus reality, and poke fun at the ludicrous system we live in. As demonstrated in his poem, Truth. The truth is a lie, baked in a pie, injected when you're young, so you don't ask why. The truth is a belief, above and beneath, but the truth it grows on the end of your nose. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you smell it? Can you peel it? Look for something that you can't find. Turn it around, and it's there all the time. Contains offensive language, has rallying rhymes to those that don't fit the mould, and angry outbursts at the irritations of life, one of which became one of Bren's greatest hits, spawning hordes of adorning rock and roll groupies and a whole line in merchandising.
Is it called Visible Fuck You? There's a miserable fucker about this place. I've never seen a smile upon his face. He hates everyone in the human race because he's a miserable fucker. He wore in wings like a big girl's binge. And generally unhinge your day. And paint everything grey because he's a miserable fucker. He'll sit in his chair and grimace and glare. And get under your hair until you can't bear life anymore. He'll moan and groan. He won't leave you alone. He'll chew your bone and drone and drone and drone and drone. On and on and on and on. 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 On and on and on. Until everybody's gone home. And then he calls you on your mobile phone because he's a miserable fucker. And this poem goes like this. Shopping, shopping, shopping. Every fucking day. Shopping, shopping, shopping. Get out of my fucking way! I'm shopping, 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 everyone else go! I'm shopping, 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 because no one has a go! Fucking old bastards! Who don't know where they're going! They're more willing to case than to give us some chance of knowing! Follow the gum shots, follow concentration. But they just won't stand there and have a conversation. They gossip, gossip, gossip when he's standing next to you. They gossip, gossip, gossip when he's turned blue. They gossip, gossip, gossip. But if you need to say, shut the fuck up if you and need your fuss ass on my way. Shopping, 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 what else are you with? Shopping, 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 what I want to get. Shopping, 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 it's fucking on the shelves. I'm shopping, shopping, shopping,
And now I've been attacked by elves. Just when you thought the curse couldn't get any worse. The bunnies are back like a pack of fox. I did that as a school holiday. So the bottom of the spugs. Granny, granny, granny! Please get out this! Shall I be little constantly in the fish? Those are the best guys! I'm still fucking pissed! I can't bloody walk and no one asked me this time when I heard it again. Next time nothing more pins, biscuit fed, turn around someone else who was standing in bed. People the time, so I was all ready to go. Sex passes for some losing control. Jumping, jumping, jumping. Bill on the two. Jumping, jumping, jumping. I want to fucking kill. Jumping, jumping, jumping. Please leave me alone. Jumping, jumping, jumping. Fuck this is going on. No, 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 no. There's too much. There's too many people. They can go fucking shopping next Christmas. Come on.
Two poems performed live at the Brown Lion in Hockley, the second being Bren's signature piece, Shopping. Dotted throughout the book, there are sublime alliterations containing wisdom, pathos, and heaps of hilarity. One minute you're reading about footies on boogies roaring down the high street, mowing down everyone in their path, and the next, trying to catch your breath at the fragility and heartbreak of a missed opportunity. Do I tell her what I feel about her? I'm sure I know how I feel about her. Or am I drunk again? Do I go with the flow, or do I do the gentlemanly thing and not take advantage of the fact that she's drunk again? From She's Drunk Again. Taking the collection as a whole, there's a sense of the vibrancy of everyday life, with all of its shades and colours, hope and despair, sadness and ecstasy, all mixed up in the madness. Reading through the book again recently, I was struck by a reoccurring message that life shouldn't be complicated, that it is for the living now and on our own terms. There's a beautiful poem towards the back of the book that I really like, called Tree. It exudes that message of just living life freely, in your own authentic way. I want to be a tree. I want to be a tree. I once yearned to be burned, but now through time I've learned. I want to be a tree. I want to be a tree. Don't let your dog piss up me. I want to branch out into the next life. I want to take a different route. I want to give something back. I want to pay my dues. I want to live forever in a garden of yews. There's a real timelessness that runs through the words of this poem, the collected wisdom of longevity, the promise that new shoots can and will grow from the roots of our old life. Bren just didn't have a flair for writing lyrics and poems. He wrote longer pieces, one of which was also published by Arts All Over the Place, a short novella called The It Factory. The protagonist of the story, 17-year-old Kevin Kearney, lives with his overly protective, slightly offensive, but loving nan, in the arse end of Birmingham. He has dreams of following in the moonwalked footsteps of his hero Michael Jackson, and when the It Factory TV show rolls into town, he jumps at the chance. What he discovers, of course, is that TV is fake, the media is fake, and ultimately, the government is fake. That they are only interested in making profits off of poor unfortunates in order to divert attention from the latest cruel, unjust war in the Middle East. Again, Bren rallies for the downtrodden and misunderstood, those of us who have all felt at one time or another unaccepted by societal norms. And nowhere is that more apparent than in the media, where anyone who fails to tick a box is best ignored, if not, treated patronisingly with a kind of sickly sugar-coated obsequiousness. Nan, Nan, I'm going to be on the telly, Nan. I'm going to be on the telly. Mr. Driver, Mr. Driver, I'm going to be on the telly. Mr. Driver, I'm going to be on the telly. Nan, Nan, I'm going to be on the telly. Nan, I'm going to be on the telly. Nan, Mr. Driver, Mr. Driver, I'm going to be on the telly. Mr. Driver, I'm going to be on the telly. Nan, Nan, I'm going to be on the... The long black limo pulled up outside the TV studios. Mr. Driver held open the door. Kevin sprang out like a gazelle with its arse on fire, followed slowly and steadily by his Nan. They were met by a couple of suits who ushered them inside. One of the suits signalled to the driver that he wasn't needed until later.
Thank fuck for that. Have any of you lads got a paracetamol? My head's splitting.
Kevin and his Nan were escorted down some corridor and onto a large sound stage surrounded by rows of empty seats. Hyman Scowl walked over toward them wearing his best suck shit smile.
Mr. Scowl! Mr. Scowl! I'm going to be on telly, Mr. Scowl!
You most certainly are, kid. And what's more, see all those empty seats? Later on, they're going to be filled with screaming kids and all here to see you sing. But first, we're going to send you to makeup and then get you ready for your big star performance. A look of total wonder engulfed Kevin's face, but the face of his Nan was less than impressed.
What do you mean you're going to put makeup on Kevin? I'll swear you're trying to turn him into a fucking shit shoveler.
Relax, Mrs. Kearney. They've got to put makeup on him because of the studio lights. Now, why don't you go and have a nice cup of tea while Kevin gets ready for the show? Mrs. Kearney walked away.
Yes, feed the old dear up with tea. Keep her out of the way. But I'm watching you bastards. I'm watching you.
From Chapter 10 of the It Factory. The final time I saw Brendan was on the 25th of June 2023 at an event he'd organised called The Bard in the Yard at the Anchor in Digbeth. He'd been working for a while with a group called New Mercury Theatre and Close to the Edge to put on spoken word music and short original plays in pub settings. They had organised charity events and theme nights at places like the Spotted Dog and the Anchor. I had attended a few of their meetings and they all seemed like good chaps who wanted to bring amateur and professional performing artists into bars for the masses to enjoy, which was a worthy venture. Brendan had organised a number of Shakespeare-themed poetry nights, which I hadn't been able to get to, so I jumped at the chance to support it when I saw a post for a new event go up on Facebook. As always with Bren, he was very relaxed about the event, happy to enjoy some beers at the bar until enough people turned up to start the proceedings. In the end, there were a few no-shows, leaving a small intimate group of several performers, artists and writers, including me. The pub was actually quite quiet for a Sunday evening, and I thought that without an audience, so to speak, it would be hardly worth going ahead with things. This was out of the question for Bren, though. Maybe he just didn't want to let everyone down, but he was determined to go ahead. We all eventually adjourned outside to the yard where Bren took up his hosting duties. We all duly performed our respective pieces to each other, our own audience. No one thought it silly or stupid. More so, there was a mutual respect for each other and our host, which made the evening a pleasure to be part of. During the night, Brendan handed me a copy of his latest work, a pamphlet called Isles of Piles, A Navigation Through the World of Hoarding. He'd been asked by Community Vibe and Clouds End CIC if he could write something to raise awareness of hoarding and mental health. He met with those who had been affected by hoarding, which had resulted in him writing interpretations of their stories, both in poetry and prose.
Who are you to call me a hoarder? You're just another marauder trying to infiltrate my border and bring me to order. To you, it's just rubbish, but to me, it's my passion. And it's not to say that one day some of it might come back into fashion. Yes, all my cupboards and boxes are filled to the brim, but to get rid of any of it would be like losing a limb. This ain't junk, this is my funk. This is what makes me groove, although I haven't got any left place left to move. You can claim that I've got too much stuff, but quite frankly, I feel that I haven't got enough. Who are you to criticise me? Be gone from this place with your old CD. Why does everything have to be so neat and tidy from Monday to Friday? So, who cares if I'm a nutter with too much clutter? Just leave me alone with my compulsion and don't think that you can just emotion over me and make me be what you want me to be.
Look, we're not here to criticise you. We just want to advise you. We don't wish to inspect or dissect. We fully respect your need to collect. But please don't neglect your safety.
We don't wish to cause alarm. We just want to keep you from harm.
We have no intention of curbing your desire. We just wish to talk to you about the risk of fire, to make sure that every wire is in the right slot, because one rough spark in the dark and you could lose the lot.
We just thought that we would call to make sure that you can get down your hall without cause to trip or fall. We want to know about your stock. We want to hear about the stories and how about you got it and why it makes you rock.
We're not here to accuse, but let's see what could be reused. Which bits of your treasure could be put together to make something that could be actually practical.
So please, let us help you.
And you can go on getting pleasure from your treasure.
And just know you've got someone to speak to.
A recording there of Hoarders Part 1 and 2 from Isles of Piles with Rachel Green and Kirsty Ford. I've been struck while writing this just how much Bren put himself out there, not just performing his work, but giving feedback and encouragement to others. It's been heartening looking through the many tributes on social media since his untimely passing, as it's clear there were many fledgling artists who were touched and inspired by his example to just get up and have a go. All they were in need of was a kind soul to give them permission and a gentle nudge in the right direction, which he did in spades. For me, it was a real honour to see Bren's art bloom, and to call him a mate. From those early halcyon Sunday afternoons at the Songwriters Cafe, whiling away the hours supping pints and listening to some of Birmingham's best and worst songwriters, right up to his last and final performances before Christmas 2023, Brendan carved out his own unique writing and performance journey. He didn't want or need the accolades of academia or the admiration of literary pundits. He brought his words directly into earshot of those off the streets with the kind of agitation, spark and immediacy that typified the ethics of punk. Poetry that they never knew they wanted, but found an immediate connection with. Big Bren was a poet in every sense of the word. Even though his work can't be bought in bookshops or burrowed in libraries, it belongs in the hearts and the minds of the folk that heard it. In the vibrant boozers of Birmingham that he loved so much. His words bouncing off the walls, colliding with open minds, tickling senses of humour and reaching into the very heart of Birmingham. And it's there that his legacy and body of work will live on forever.
Our home used to be such a happy abode until you bastards moved into the road. The very day that you moved next door, you started ripping up half the floor. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Bang, 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 bang. Drill, 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 drill. Ball, 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 ball. Drill, 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 drill. Ball, 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 ball. All I want you to do is snore, 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 snore.
But all I hear is drill, 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 ball, 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 bang, 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 bang. And then your kids come home. Scream, 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 scream. Bounce the ball, 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 bounce the ball. And then there's your shit music. Boom, 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 boom. And then you let your dog out. Bark, 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 fucking bark. Why? Why have you been sent to hurt us? I swear that you do this on fucking purpose. Will this noise ever yield? Surely you've got nothing else left to fucking build. But now, I've got my own hammer. And I'm coming round. And I've got to go, bang, 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 on your baby's head. And bang, 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 up on your ugly wife's head. And bang, 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 on your head. Bang, 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 bang. Well, maybe I just got out of the pub. I've got cubby on my ironing board. I know that it sounds weird. I don't know where it got there. It just suddenly appeared. I woke up this morning to ironing shirt from us. But I found my ironing board was covered in madras. I've got cubby on my ironing board. Everything's gone crazy. I've remembered being in the pub, then everything went hazy. I tried to phone a friend to ask for some advice. But my telephone was covered in chips and rice. I've got cubby on my ironing board. What am I to do? It's all over the kitchen. It's even in my shoe. But now I've got an idea. Now I've got a hunch. I scrape all the cubby onto a plate and I'll have it for me lunch.
Noisy Neighbours and the sublime Curry on My Ironing Board, both from Bren's book, contains offensive language. Finally, here's a poem Bren wrote about the possibly disastrous effects of taking modern pharmaceuticals.
I did this one because I've been feeling poorly lately. This is called ill.
Yeah.
I went to the doctor's feeling stopped for ill to see if he could prescribe for me some medicinal pill. Now my doctor must be telepathic. He already knew the score because he had written my prescription before I walked through the door. Now there's no need to worry, there's nothing to explain. Just take 80 days a day and you will be right as rain. But when I got the tablets on and found a slip of paper, there's more than a picture of it you see, a 20-page disclaimer. Side effects of everywhere, but these tablets may cause vomiting, dizziness, headaches, back pain, sore throat, bronchitis, stomach cramps, bruising, clapping, swallowing, flipping from the face, ulcers, bantam, shortness, halitosis, superglosses, jingle, shingles, incidence, and hives, high blood pressure, lost self-esteem, hair off, weight loss, colour there, diet there, constipation, constellation, glucose, epilepsy, hallucinations, agitation, child conscious, impulsions, nightmares, amnesia, depression, insomnia, suicide, agitation, Beckham's skulls to worry! Golly toy, golly toy! Good game, good game! The rare occasion's death. Now is this some kind of joke? Is this some kind of curse? I want to get better, not get fucking worse. It can shove me a cup and flip your ass and see me with a kiss. Because I'm quite sure I can follow a bit of cure if I go in with a piss.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Nick Treadwell's Storyville. Please subscribe if you liked what you heard, and be sure to check out my Substack blog, Letters from Storyville, at nicktreadwell.substack.com.